This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm David Lazarus of the Los Angeles Times. Time now for my favorite part of the show, when we get to your letters. We're focusing on housing this week. Redfin CEO Glenn Kelman is stuck around, so he's going to help out with some of the letters we're getting about pressing real estate issues. Just to remind you, Redfin is a real estate and technology company that's been tracking housing trends for almost a decade now. Thanks for staying with us, Glenn.
Thanks for having me, David.
All right, our first caller is Nicole calling from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Hi, Nicole.
Hey, how's it going?
How are things in Stone Mountain, Georgia?
Chilly. It's cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Stone Mountain, is it near Atlanta?
Yeah, it's pretty much Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, technically, it's Stone Mountain.
And Atlanta, kind of a tough housing market all around. I mean, a lot of demand to live there. What do you do?
I am a manager of a business. I sell natural cosmetics.
What's a natural cosmetics? Does that mean you're not testing it on animals or what?
It's just cosmetics made with low preservatives and fresh fruits and vegetables and stuff that's really good for your skin.
I'm sorry. Are you telling me that I'd be spreading fresh fruits and vegetables on my skin?
Yes. You should do that right now.
Really? Okay. I want you to picture me smearing a beet all over my face.
Hey.
There I go. Now I got
the
look.
Why not hurt?
Now it's working for me. All right. What's your question?
Yeah. We bought our house in 2007. Just right before, you know, the economy went down. And we bought it for $163, and we got one mortgage at 6%, one mortgage at 8%. And, you know, we have a kid, we have another one on the way, and the property value, of course, has gone down tremendously. We have no equity in it. We're underwater in it. We are eligible for a refinancing, but that expires at the end of the month, and it's for people like us who've paid our mortgage on time, and we're waiting for the other mortgage to submit a subordination, and it's just not happening for whatever reason. We've kind of tried to wait out the economy and wait out what was going on and figure that the property value will go up, but we just feel like we're paying a lot for a mortgage every single month, and we need to be able to put some money away to save.
So where's your indecision here? What do you need to know?
We're thinking if this refinancing doesn't happen, we're thinking of a short sale.
Okay.
And just maybe possibly finding another house or just kind of finding housing somewhere else until we can maybe get some debts paid off and trying this all over again.
So you're wondering if a short sale is a good move and how it might affect your credit, for example, and your prospects for buying another property?
Yeah, we've looked into it. It looks like it will, but we think it might affect our credit. But at the same time, we'd really like to just pay off our debts. So that might be better for our credit.
Sure. Okay. There's a couple of moving parts to this. And Glenn Kelman, the whole notion of having two mortgages and not having both lenders play ball on a refi, that's frustrating.
Right. The more mortgages there are, the harder it is to get everybody to agree to take a loss. What I would encourage you to do is to keep paying your mortgage. There was a time when you really had to stop paying your mortgage before anyone would pay attention to a short sale.
But that's a dangerous game.
That's a dangerous game. That's a nuclear option.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to do that, especially since you can now get an FHA loan as long as your short sale involved a property where you've been paying the mortgage for 12 consecutive months. So if you've been up to date on your mortgage, you can go ahead and apply for a short sale and still be able to buy another home using an FHA loan, even if you turn right around and try to do that.
Is there anything Nicole can do to facilitate the conversation between her two mortgage holders to get them onto the same page?
Well, I think you just want to talk about where you're at financially. So if you've got another baby on the way, you're financially struggling, you've got all sorts of debt, you can apply to have a means-tested short sale. I wouldn't, as I said, stop paying the mortgage. I would simply explain to them that you don't have the money to continue making the mortgage payment. And at that point, I think that you've got a good opportunity to get that short sale approved.
You know, we've been talking about the housing market and the question of whether your underwater home is ever going to resurface. No one can really say at this point. Do you know how deep underwater you are?
About 80,000.
It's a lot. And you're going to want to keep that in mind when you make your next move. A short sale could be the smart play, but you got to get everybody on board.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Nicole. We wish you all the best of luck. Thank you.
Bye.
Coming up, we'll hear from a couple of callers who have outgrown their homes. And we'll talk about what to do when money problems hit home next.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm David Lazarus. I'm joined by Glenn Kelman. He's the CEO of the real estate site Redfin. That's where real estate, technology all come together into one happy place. Also, we're going to be posting some data from you guys about the housing market on our website, marketplace.org.
What we're going to show you is just how much inventory has declined year over year. We thought that in 2013, we would open the year with the broad consensus for the first time in 5 years that prices were rising, and that would draw more people to sell their homes. But in fact, in the opening weeks of the year, we've seen continued decreases in inventory, which will limit the number of sales, which will drive prices up, which will frustrate a lot of home buyers.
All right. So you can crunch the numbers, as usual, at marketplace.org. Okay, let's get back into your calls. And our next caller is Dennis, calling from Pearland, Texas. Hiya, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing?
Where's Pearland? Help me out there.
Oh, Pearland is about 13 miles from downtown Houston.
Oh, okay. So it's not out in the boonies, per se.
Oh, no, no. Definitely not.
And when I say boonies, I mean that in the nicest possible way. You know that.
Yes.
What do you do, Dennis?
I'm a technology cost management specialist.
What on earth does a technology cost management specialist do?
I just tell you how to spend your money and where your money's going.
All right. Well, you're just the man for this show, and yet you've got a question.
Yes, I do. It's a very interesting scenario. So we got a house in 2005. It's a three-bedroom, two-bathroom, and we have one kid now. And right now, only one bedroom is available for use. So we are considering going to a larger home. The current home has very comfortable mortgage payment, nothing to worry about. Now, we looked at the market, and homes in our neighborhood sell for about $88 to $120 per square foot. And the home we are looking at is twice the size and twice the mortgage. The question that we have is kind of like a three-side question. So part one of this is we do nothing. We stay where we are. And we have no more room to grow. And we're planning to have another baby this year. But if we stay where we are, we get to pay off a whole lot of debt.
Okay, so you're cozy, but you're debt-free. Okay, I'm okay on scenario one. What's scenario two?
Scenario two is we get a slightly larger home without any equity, maybe about $89 per square foot, 3,500 square foot home.
Okay, more elbow room, more debt. And what's your third scenario?
The third scenario is I have this very awesome short sale that is in the neighborhood selling for about $70 per square foot, but it's the largest home. It's close to 5,000 square feet.
Holy cow, that's palatial.
It's got twice the mortgage. And we are going, is it worth moving to a bigger home if you think there's going to be an upside down the line?
All right, so the third scenario is the Jed Clampett scenario. Swimming pool, movie stars. I got it. So what you got to balance now is essentially your need for more room at home and more room to grow versus your appetite for financial risk, because that's what you're going to be taking on. And Glenn Kelman, this is clearly a question, especially as the economy improves, that a lot of families are asking.
Well, I wouldn't get in over your head too fast. I mean, we just got out of this jam. I don't want folks to get right back into it. The one question I had about the short sale, how do you know that that's what it will really sell for?
Well, they have accepted a contract on it, and we are still waiting. It's been almost 4 months now, but they've accepted it.
My concern is just that the bank will have an asset manager say that home is worth more than that and ask for more money later. They don't want to feel like just because they gave it up on the mortgage that they're also going to give away the farm on the price. So they just want to make sure they're being fairly treated. So it may be that once the bank actually approves the sale, that the price has to go up.
Dennis, I got to say, I think out of your three scenarios, scenario two seems to be the strongest. You clearly are making sounds like you want some more room. You got a new baby coming, and you know a house is an investment. You're investing in your future. You're investing in your family, and that's all good. Those are good things to invest in,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a lot of other things I can think of, like a new Ferrari, for example. So your second scenario, you had more room, and you had a modest increase in your mortgage,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
Can you handle that increase?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't you do that?
I would also handle scenario three. It may require a little bit of adjustment, but it's just so attractive.
5,000 square feet. What are you going to do with it, though? I mean, honestly, you going to put in a bowling alley? I mean,
probably
really.
Flip it.
Oh, that's, that's a whole other thing.
No.
Is that a game you've ever played before?
No, absolutely not.
I would say, and I'm guessing Glenn's going to back me up here, don't swim with sharks if you don't have to.
Yeah, I think that the simplest way to make money in real estate is to buy and hold. If you're going to go flipping properties, there's transaction costs that will just eat you up. So I would probably do the mid-sized option too.
And that's what I would do. Dennis, does that work for you?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Good luck with that. We got time for one more caller. Let's go over to Jen calling from St. Anthony, Minnesota. Hiya, Jen.
Hi.
I'm guessing chilly in Minnesota.
Yes, we've had highs in the negatives the past 2 days.
Remember, you're talking to a couple of people sitting in Los Angeles. I feel your pain, Jen. Yeah. I really do. Sorry. What's your housing question?
We are in a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath ranch-style house right now, and we are expecting our 4th child.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. So we're looking to expand the house a little bit. We think we're okay on bedrooms, but we really need more bathrooms, mm-hmm. and we need to remodel the existing bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
We are the second owners of the house, so there's been a lot of deferred maintenance and things like that. And I'm wondering what the best course of action for getting the money for that is. Is it to try and get a second mortgage? Is it to get a construction loan? Is there some third secret option C that I don't know about?
The secret option. All right, let's turn to Glenn and see what he has to say.
I would probably talk to 3 different people about this. You should talk to a lender and just figure out how much capital you can access. But you should also talk to a contractor to figure out what the cost of the renovation would be. And then the third person I would talk to would be a real estate agent. I would want to make sure that you could get that money out of the property when it was time to sell it. You don't want to renovate a property such that it's the nicest house on the block or the nicest house in the neighborhood, because it's then hard to get that money back when you hang a sign in the front yard. And then finally, I might talk to my husband to see if you can take the madness of a renovation with 3 kids and a 4th on the way, because it is a big commitment.
And you're not going to be living in the house at the time. So you're going to be somewhere else almost certainly for much of the renovation. You're going to uproot everybody. And that's hard. I mean, logistically speaking, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So do you think you can handle that?
I think we could handle that. We really, really, really want to stay in the school district and the neighborhood. And most of the homes here were built at the same time and are the same size. And if they have been expanded, it's been recently. Most people are the second owners like we are, and so they're not moving.
Jen, have you ever missed a mortgage payment?
No.
Good. Then you pass the marketplace money test right out of the gate, and I would say that puts you in a very good position to talk to the bank and make your case. You say, look, we love the house. We're good customers. We always make our payments. And guess what? We'll make bigger payments because you're going to increase the size of the loan. My guess is they're going to jump at that opportunity. Jen, what does your husband do?
He's a web consultant.
A web consultant? That doesn't sound like something that has a steady income, or am I wrong?
Well, he is the president of his own S-Corp, and he has been for about 10 years now. And I know in the past, that's been something that the banks have not been thrilled about, that he's his own employer.
Right.
But he does very well at it.
Yeah, it's all about the balance sheet.
Okay.
Well, I think they're also concerned just about the steadiness of the income. So you're right to focus on just how regular his income has been.
And I think the remodel is probably a smart bet if you like the house, if you like the school district, if you like your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And so moving somewhere else probably is going to create more headaches than you want.
Right.
I agree. The only thing that I would be cognizant of is just when it's time to sell it, because it sounds like all the houses in your neighborhood are very similar. So you'll really be an outlier because you'll have an extra bathroom and more space. But the question you have to ask yourself is, can I get that $100,000 back?
Well, hopefully, if we get more bathroom, we won't need to move for a while.
There you go. Jen, I hope that helps.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for calls today. Glenn Kelman is CEO of the real estate website, redfin.com. Glenn, thanks so much for being here.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.